Hi, and welcome to Mouse Chat. I'm Lisa, and joining me today, I have Mouse Chatters Steve, Chris, Bob, and Lauren. Welcome, everyone.
Howdy.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
Hi, Chris.
Hello.
Hey.
No making me laugh, because laughing prompts coughing, and that's not good. Into a microphone.
This is getting over another never-ending cold.
No kidding. I've been fighting like this one.
Is that like the never-ending story?
Yeah, or never, nice. Everlasting gobstopper. Those are better. Okay, so on today's show, we're going to hit just a couple of listener comments, some things that you've written in, and we're going to talk about those.
So this first listener question comment comes from our listener, Jerry. And he says, good morning, Mouse Chatters. Let me start by saying I really love your show, even if I'm a few episodes behind. That could be why you still like us. And I tell all my Disney-loving friends about it. And we certainly appreciate that. So I'm just going to kind of summarize his email because it was a little bit long. But I want to point out that he does mention that many of his ideas, even though he realizes that a lot of these pavilions that he's talking about have corporate sponsors and the ideas aren't cheap, given that Disney is flexing its purchasing power to a large degree lately in areas like Marvel and Lucasfilms, it's hard to imagine that they don't have the cash, which I can agree with that. So his first comment would be, within Future World, remove Leave a Legacy, which he describes looking like a well-kept postmodern graveyard, and put up ever-changing displays depicting the latest scientific advances in our world in a fun way. He even suggests possibly having Ludwig von Drake showing up to show how things work, which would be very cool because you don't see him in the parks. And up until this whole Long Lost Friends week, I don't think we'd seen Ludwig von Drake. Gosh, I can't even remember when. So that's a pretty fair point. I kind of agree with the whole Leave a Legacy thing. Those giant granite pillars. I don't think it looks good. I mean, I think they should just take them out and just. I'd be happy if they put nothing in its place or flower beds or something. But yeah, I kind of like the idea of making it scientific or doing something like that. That would be a good lead in to Spaceship Earth.
Yeah, and it used to be just blank. It used to be just empty, and they had a different fountain, and I don't know.
It
leaves room for other things to come in there for different events. But yeah, I came when they were already up and pretty well sold out, and I just never liked those giant Leave a Legacy stones. And evidently, it's a 10-year lease, which has already run its course, and there's always some rumors going around that they're going to get rid of them and just put a plaque on the the four spires that hold up Spaceship Earth or something, but they're still there.
I think it's such a distraction too, especially when you have like that great big display at the front of the park for Flower and Garden Festival, and then right behind it, you've got these giant pillars up.
Yeah.
Slabs.
It is. I mean, I think that's the best way I've heard it described. It's a distraction. I mean, you've got like a really, I mean, it's a pretty impressive large area you're walking in, and then all of a sudden you see these sort of barriers. And I mean, honestly, I thought they were to keep like, I thought they were for security reasons.
The
I didn't
bombs.
Realize. Yes, that's what I
keep
thought.
Out,
the first
like,
time I, th- I saw them,
full
I said.
Explosives.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean,
driving
sure.
wildly into
I mean, it didn't make sense because it would have to go through all that other stuff first. But, you know, hey, I don't know. But, yeah, I just they don't work. So
no. OK, so Jerry, we are in agreement with you with point one. Point two, Universe of Energy needs a complete overhaul. Because once again, it has nothing to do with the future. It has dinosaurs in it. He says, maybe change the context to talk about the future of energy, like maglev technology, including ride vehicles, superconductivity, or antimatter. Get a fun scientist to make an appearance, like Dr., and I'm probably going to botch this name, Michio Kaku comes to mind.
That's just fun to say.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I probably should have Googled his name before or her name.
Hey, as long as they have bubble tea in that pavilion, I'm happy.
And those giant straws that you can suck the.
Yeah.
I would agree Universe of Energy needs an overhaul. It's a 45-minute snooze fest with Bill Maher. Bill Maher. Bill Nye the Science Guy. And Ellen DeGeneres, which, I mean, before she was topical, really. I mean, that's how old that is. So I don't know who's going in there other than perhaps mothers looking to breastfeed or people looking to sleep.
Well, and it's nice to cool off, too.
And yes, you want to get out of the heat.
Well, the problem is all of the future world, it's been there. They get so much time out of those attractions. Like, it's just unbelievable to me. It's like, how long did you think you were going to leave this year? You know, like maybe 10 years, maybe. But it just goes on and on and on. And they just do these small updates and they just need to overhaul a lot of those. But I think the problem is, like he was saying, it's sponsorships and money, and nobody wants to put the money into it. And they don't want to take an attraction out and leave it empty that takes up 45 minutes of people's days. And they just kind of sit there.
Right. All right. So point two, we can agree with his other pavilion that he wants to change. Wonders of Life. My idea for here was to have a ride that explores the origins of life, starting in the oceans, go through the age of prehistoric fish, dinosaurs, asteroids, rise of mammals, like Spaceship Earth, but on a grander scale. Have the ride explore the possibilities of life on other worlds. Keeping in mind the idea of the future, which makes sense in an area of the park called a future world. Quite honestly, I'd love to see something in the Wonders of Life Pavilion at all besides the occasional seminar during Food and Wine or Flower and Garden Festival. But I don't know. I mean, until they get a sponsor for that pavilion, I don't think you're going to see anything. I think the last work that was done inside there was to clear out remnants of The Making of Me and Body Wars.
You know what? I'll check the Mouse Chat budget and see what we can do as far as sponsorship.
Awesome. That would be awesome. Cool.
Yeah.
This pavilion sponsored by Mouse Chat.
Oh, that would be awesome.
That would be cool.
We can't even afford to sponsor a planter.
Oh, and speaking of sponsors, real quick.
Wait, what about a garbage can?
They're like sponsoring everything now. They've just started going down to you know, like this temporary wall sponsored by Stanley Tools.
Like in the bathroom, the paper towels brought to you by Bounty.
Yeah, and the paper towels in the bathroom have sponsors.
That does seem cheap, doesn't
and
it?
And now the, you know, these shoes are sponsored by New Balance. There was something else I just saw that was like super minuscule, and I was like, wow.
Tidy Bowl or something?
Something I just saw that Disney had it that was being sponsored.
This counter service meal sponsored by
Banquet.
Because I think they've just figured out they can't get the big sponsors, so now they're going to just sponsor these plastic utensils and anything they can. And
you think about it, I mean, having Bounty sponsor your towels is a pretty big move. And I mean, there's towels dispensers everywhere.
I think it's Brawny.
Oh, whatever.
See, they're not even getting the good sponsorship out of it. We don't even know who it is.
Honestly, I like Brawny
better than Bounty.
The two signs I noticed in the bathroom, I'm going off topic here, but there's the one that says, you know, these paper towels, Brawny, you know, tells you to wash your hands. And then there's a sign in some of the bathrooms that says, like within the handicap stall or whatever, you'll see the sign that says, reclaimed water, do not drink. Is this a serious problem? I mean, are people that thirsty? I know the Dasani water has gone up to like $2.75, but are we getting that desperate? I mean, if you're that thirsty, go to Pirates of the Caribbean and you know, fill up your water bottle there. Don't do that. All right. So Mission Space. He's like, okay, so Horizons isn't coming back. We can all accept that and have a good cry. What about multiple choice missions to different parts of the solar system? Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto. I like saying Uranus. Neptune, Pluto, and their moons. And now you have a reason for people to ride again. That's kind of like Star Tours, too. They reinvented the Star Tours ride by making it different every time. So instead of Gary Sinise doing that don't move a muscle every single time on the ride, that's actually a decent idea. I like that. And then he said, maybe have Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson give you your mission briefing. Isn't that the guy who does the whole love connection website? The what's that one? We find you a compatible partner website.
Bob, I don't think any of us have been on those websites in a while.
Hold on, I got to look at my list. Match.com?
No, not Match.com.
J-Date?
You know the one that makes you take a 45-minute quiz?
Not familiar.
And if my wife is listening to this, I'm not going on these sites.
Like, hold on, I only have another 15 minutes.
I don't think that that's the same Dr. Neil guy. But again, I probably should have Googled this man's name, but I'm sure he's very, very important. Later. But no, I do like the idea of changing up mission space with different different planets that people can maybe even randomly different missions like Star Tours did. I think the same thing should be done with Sorin too.
Yeah, Sorin.
You mean
perhaps.
You should go to outer space?
No, not.
I mean, like just different.
You should go to, yeah, you can hang glide into outer space.
Well, you can do different films. Yeah, like you're saying, you just get there's different films that you can experience, or at least different parts of the films.
Right, exactly. That would be cool. Like even if you could choose like by voting, maximum, you know, majority vote, and one scene is different.
Oh, geez.
That would be kind of neat. And then
I like it the way it is.
The Imagination Pavilion. Also falling under the I used to love it, but it's not coming back. Yeah, no kidding. And there's a lot of people who wish it would. So how about this? And this is what he proposes. The ride starts in the brain, and we follow the birth of an idea, the spark. Maybe have Figment having lost the spark, and he needs our help to find it. Follow him as he goes on his way to actual creation, such as art, literature, music, etc. Let it tell a story and not just be a series of gags cobbled together. Gosh, that actually sounds like an intelligent, coherent thought, Jerry. And ain't nobody got time for that. that's not what Disney's interested in these days. I like it. I mean, I think anything that they could do with that pavilion is better than what's in there now.
Yeah.
I think it's just a shred of what it was. But yeah, that's a good idea. Not satisfied with just Future World, of course, he moves on to World Showcase with Italy. And he said, how about a ride that simulates a high-speed chariot ride through the Italian countryside, ancient Rome, etc., and you end up racing around the Circus Maximus? Neat. In the UK, you could have a Mary Poppins-based Soarin-type ride where you get a majestic sort of flight over the different scenery of the UK. No?
Nah, that's all right.
You could do it like on a... On
Sounds
a,
like Soarin. It's like everyone holds on to an umbrella.
Okay, Japan. Attraction based around Godzilla. Think of how much fun that could be, blowing up Universal's King Kong out of the water. That would be kind of funny. Too bad that Universal got rid of King Kong the ride here in Orlando. And he said, okay, gang, that's all I got. The idea bag is empty. Thanks for taking the time to read through this. And remember that if we can dream it, we can do it. Well, I like a lot of his ideas. I like that he's thinking out of the box. I mean, I think Disney needs more of that. And even though we've been promised all these talk of great changes coming to Epcot, I just hope it's true.
Yeah. Well, what was the last thing they redid at Epcot that was like a major? Oh, well, Test Track.
Test Track.
Test Track was the last. Okay, recall. before yeah. Test Track, what was the last major thing they did? Can anybody?
I can't even think.
Mission Space?
Mission Space? That was a while ago, wasn't it?
Mission Space was a while ago.
Or no, was it the Living Seas? If you could,
yeah.
Wouldn't even call that. And I'm kind of surprised, Jerry, that you left the Living Seas off of it.
Yeah, well, the Living Seas is, I don't know, it's tough because there's parts of the old attractions I like and then parts of the new Nemo thing I like. But I like the Nemo thing because it brings some life into it and lets the kids enjoy it. But then you never, everybody just darts out and nobody goes to the aquarium part anymore.
Well, there's not a lot of fish in there
either.
Yeah,
that's the other thing. Yeah, it's kind of unless you get way up in there and go, it seems like. Yeah, it's just a shell
right.
of
And a lot of people overlook Turtle Talk with Crush, which is a shame, too, because that really is a good show.
Yeah, it's kind of hidden in the back.
Yeah, so, okay.
I love Turtle Talk. That's cool.
Well, thank you, Jerry, for sharing your thoughts with all of us, and I promise I'll Google the names of those people later and find out exactly who they are. But I like the ideas. I thought, you know, I like people that think outside the box like that, and Disney needs more of that. So the second question then for us came from, and this one is more of a question, comes from Brandon, a longtime listener. And he says, as usual, I'm planning two trips ahead, and I have a question about Disneyland. He said, I seem to remember that you guys were out there not too long ago. He said, my question is this. Is it worth it to stay on property out there? This is probably a once in 10 years kind of trip. So is it worth paying an extra $2,000 based on my estimates to stay at the Grand Californian or Disneyland Hotel versus staying at the Carousel Inn across the street? Or I should add, there's lots of other places across the street, good neighbor hotels that are very, very close. My heart is telling me to stay at the Disneyland Hotel because as a child I went to Disneyland and dreamed of one day staying there. And this was way back when the monorail went to the hotel. But my head and wallet are telling me to save the money and to stay across the street. What are your thoughts?
Stay on property. I think it depends because, you know, I mean, obviously most of those resorts or those hotels have shuttles, but I really like the idea of being right there so you can walk.
Okay. I agree with that, but what about splitting it?
Oh, but you know,
I know it's a pain, but you know, if money is really that much of a concern.
True.
Well, my thought was, I don't know if money's that much of a concern as much as he's saying it's
not worth it.
It's once in 10 years. So, if you're only going for once every 10 years, do you splurge now, or do you think, well, let me save the money and $2,000 in savings can go towards another trip in fewer than 10 years.
Do you know what my rule is? My rule for anything is if it doesn't keep you up at night, go ahead and do it. But like, you know, and the Grand Californian is like super expensive. But that's the top one. Right. So compromise and stay at Paradise Pier, maybe. I actually didn't mind Paradise Pier at all.
I would stay at, like he said, the Disneyland Hotel. And we walked through that the last time we were there, and it looks really nice. The pool area is fantastic. They've got
the remodel
cabanas.
Is very nice. Really, yeah.
And the rooms are spectacular.
Okay, so you guys, you Pixie agents, are going to know this a little better than I will right now. Looking at the prices of perhaps Paradise Pier versus one of those good neighbors that would be respectable.
It's not that much more. Maybe $50 to $75 a night, depending.
Really?
I don't think it's that much more.
I was going to say,
I priced it out for me and Thomas because I thought, well, you know, maybe we could stay at a good neighbor. And I thought it's not really that big. Granted, I have an annual pass discount, so I'm paying less. But yeah, I didn't think it was a huge amount more.
I think it was $500 difference or less. Go ahead and do it, because that is something, you know, big picture, 10 years, that's not a big deal.
Yeah.
I think the tough thing is at Disneyland, you can't really say, I mean, when you say offsite at Disney World, it means an entirely different thing than it does at Disneyland, because you can see those hotels. You know, some of those hotels actually have theme park views, those good neighbor hotels. So they're obviously very, very close. So then it becomes an issue of, do you trust, you know, are they going to be clean? Are the amenities going to be decent enough? Or are you going to get a room like Bob had the other night, you know, where, you know, he was finding, you know, strange things in there. I mean, so I think whereas with Disney, you know, it's everything is consistent. And I have to say, the one place he mentioned, that carousel, is it Carousel Inn? I've driven past that. I wasn't that impressed. You know, so I don't know. I like the consistency of Disney, and we talked about this last week, obviously.
Yeah, so everything's close at Disneyland. So if you are off-site, it's just a shuttle ride in, which really isn't that long. But, it's the consistency of the hotels, like Chris was saying. And then if you're on property, you just get up and go. And if you're the Grand Californian, you just get up and walk out the back door and you're in the California Adventure Park.
That's why we settled on it. I was like, I'm here with just my 5-year-old and me. I'll be there next week. And I thought I'd rather have convenience and also safety. You know, I feel a lot safer in a Disney hotel. I feel safer when I stay in a Disney hotel, whether regardless. And I'm sure he doesn't feel that way because he's probably a big, brawny dude. but you know, I felt that way. I don't want to insult him. So I'm so excited to go next week. I can't stand it.
But so is your vote to stay on property then? Is that the I mean, cuz I mean, if we're talking $2,000 Disneyland or Grand Californian, $2,000 is a lot of money. My thought was because he's only looking at Disneyland Hotel or Grand Californian, my thought was do a split stay, get the best of both worlds. But yeah, there is that fear of you don't know what you're going to get, and can you trust the reviews that you read online? If you know you're not going to make it out there for another 10 years, for sure, I'd probably just bite the bullet and do it if you had the financial means, and like you said, Chris, it's not going to keep you up at night.
I think ask people who've been there too, and ask people who've been there recently, because I don't really, and you know, Bob, you had a really bad encounter, I think, with, was it TripAdvisor with the reviews? I don't trust those reviews ever, but ask, you know, ask people in Disney online communities, you know, hey, where did you stay? If you stayed off property, did you like it? You know, if right. you're going to do that.
Yeah. That is a good source. I would agree with that. The people in the Disney community versus people just randomly online are much better resources, I think, to tell you, yes, this is a good place to stay off site, or no, if the reviews aren't telling you the full story.
Yeah.
Because everybody's standards are different. And if you end up anything in like a place I was at last night, oh, man, that was bad. That was really, really bad. All right, so there's our thoughts. I mean, I think we're gonna say if you can do it, if it's a once in every 10 years, once in a decade trip, and you can do it, Brandon, go for it. Go for Disneyland. Go for Grand Californian. I don't think you'll be disappointed in either one of those hotels for sure.
Okay, that sounds good. I'm gonna grab it right here and wrap up the show. Thank you to PixieVacations.com for sponsoring the podcast. You can download our shows at mousechat.net and from iTunes. Please send us your comments and questions, and maybe we'll read those on the air as well. And you can send those to us at comments@mousechat.net, or you can go check us out on Facebook. Please join us again here next time on Mouse Chat.